Welcome to our show. Hello, hello, hello. Hi, everyone. This is Bobby Elias, your host for Let's Create a Better World. Although we're doing much more on body, mind, spirit. Today we're talking about cancer, prostate cancer. And we also talk about world problems and solutions. And a lot of things going on. This is Earth Month. Earth Day, Earth Week, Earth Month. Our next show will be about that quite a bit. And a matter of fact, probably the next 2 weeks, we'll also be talking about the elections, and we'll be talking about a lot of things. Our show is about body, mind, spirit, aging, health, how we get them, and how we can heal them. And our guest today is going to be talking about that, about prostate. We also go into solutions of what's going on in the world. Climate change is big. Again, this month, because the Earth and the environment, we're going to be talking about the climate change, global warming. The oceans are heating up badly, and we're going to talk about that. All right. Then the second part of the show will be our co-host and associate producer, Stefan, will be on to talk about TMI, too much information. We're going to talk about the fact that people are glued to their cell phones, to their internet devices, iPads and computers, and it's just there's a lot of things that we're going to talk about, how people need to tail off, especially at night when they get ready to go to sleep. We're going to go in detail about that and about what's going on, the whole thing. Stefan is really a webmaster, social media expert. He's really into all this, and he's got some great information for us today. All right, well, I'm ready for our first guest, Peter Starr, who is very, very well known as a radio, TV, film. He's got a film production company. I'm going to let him explain more of all the things he does. He does so many things. He's won many, many awards, 14 major awards for all kinds of activity in film. And he's done documentaries. He's done everything. The guy is really, really actively involved. But here's the best part about Peter, and I'll have him on in a second. Peter overcame prostate cancer, and we're going to talk about that today. And on his own, with the help of a few people, then he turned around and went to eight continents around the world, many countries, to interview different people. And on a great, great DVD, which I've seen, is super. He's got 56 different experts talking about prostate cancer, and their idea about what it is and how it can be cured. So with that, let's get to our guest, Peter Starr. Peter, welcome to the show.
Bobby, thank you very much. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thank you for being here and giving us great to meet you, and thank you for giving me a copy of your DVD. It's really, really great. You put a lot of work into it, and tell us how you got into this whole thing, and then what happened when you got your cancer, and a little bit about that. Go right ahead, please.
Well, it's getting a diagnosis of cancer is probably the worst day in anyone's life. Because the last thing you understand when you get that diagnosis is what it really means. And if you believe everything that your conventional doctor will tell you when you get that diagnosis, then you're going to be directly into what I call the sheep dip of treatment, where they dump you in one end, and then they'll feed you all the treatments that they can think of, and then hopefully you'll make it out the other end. Unfortunately, the chances of you making it out the other end are getting less and less, as the more and more chemotherapeutic drugs and stuff like that they put in you. When I was diagnosed, I knew nothing. I mean, I had a biopsy. We don't even recommend biopsies anymore. And in fact, they're really a disaster in so many ways. But I had the biopsy because there was nothing else. I knew nothing at the time, and I trusted the urologist. And when I came out of that, the next day he told me that I had cancer. And his pressure to have me do radical prostatectomy, which is where they do a very large incision in the lower abdomen and remove the prostate, the pressure to do that was considerable. And I just felt like, no, I've got to think about this long and hard before I make any decisions. And I started reading everything I could get my hands on about prostate cancer, and there's definitely two different entire fields of thinking. One is conventional, which is radiation or surgery or what they call androgen deprivation drugs, where they cut off, they literally castrate you, either chemically or physically. And that's side, one side of it. The other side is what I consider to be the natural side, which is where you really have to study the causation, understand what that is, and correct it. The body's an amazing thing. It truly is. And I believe that since it's generally accepted that prostate cancer is a slow-growing cancer, although there's a lot of arguments against that on some quarters, but it's certainly not going to kill you tomorrow. If you got diagnosed today, you've got a period of time where you can really sit back and think about what it is you want to do. And what we teach is to take that time and instead of doing nothing or watchful waiting or active surveillance, as they now call it, but actually do something to yourself. You know, correct the things in your body that are wrong. Find out what you're deficient in. Find out what you're toxic with. Find out what your hormone levels are. Deal with your emotional traumas. Work on yourself for that period of time. And my bet is, and it was certainly with me, that you'll find a decrease in the tumor. And that's what we try to work with people for. And because, as you probably have heard, the treatments or the side effects, they call them side effects, I call them direct effects of the various treatments, are not good. Particularly if you're a man that's sexually active and doesn't, you know, wants a normal sort of bowel function, normal urinary function, and certainly normal sexual function, the last thing you want to think about is conventional treatments, because right. The odds are you're going to lose that.
Yeah, I've heard that people get incontinence also sometimes and have other problems. Is that true?
Oh, it's, incontinence rates are staggering. It depends on what they do. I mean, I've got patients on my books that have had radiation treatments where they said, "Oh, this is very accurate, no problem," and then they've burnt through the bladder and burnt through the rectum, and so the man becomes fecal incontinent, not just urinary incontinent.
Oh my God!
It's a real issue. Now, what, I'm not saying that happens for everybody. But when you look at the statistics, we're talking way above 50%.
Yes. Wow, that's good.
But that's, okay. And that's not something, that's not a bet that I would make for me personally.
Peter, your information is wonderful. For our listeners, this is Peter Starr I'm speaking to. I'm Bobby Elias of Let's Create a Better World and Healthy Aging and Body, Mind, Spirit. And this whole month we're going to be talking about Earth Day, Earth Week, about the climate change, global warming. And we're also talking about the elections. But Peter right now is going to get in. We're going to, by the way, Peter, every during the week heading into this show, which today is Saturday, April the 16th, and every day that we do this show during the week, we do a promo. And in the promo, I alerted women to be sure to listen to the show so they can help they can be there as a caregiver, a helper, and a support to their husbands, to their fathers, to their other family, to other men, period. And because women are very conscientious.
Yeah, no, and you've hit the nail on the head, because one of the biggest issues is the perspective of women. Many women that I've now spoken to, when their husbands or significant other has been diagnosed with prostate cancer, their basic attitude is do what the doctor tells you.
Right.
And They've given off the responsibility of being involved with their husbands and putting it on the husbands. And most men, I mean, let's be honest, as a gender, most men don't do very much research. If the doctor says do this, generally they'll do it. If the doctor says jump, the man will say how high. Or if he says you need surgery, the man will say how quickly can we get it done? Let's get it over with. And it's only afterwards that the wife gets involved, when finds out that the man can no longer be her lover, and right. The fact that he can no longer control his bladder,
right.
Or in the worst examples is they can no longer control their bowel, and then the women go, "Holy Toledo, why didn't I get involved in this?" I'll give you one example. Specifically, I have a gentleman who had prostate cancer diagnosed, and they said, "Well, you need to have a surgery." So they put him into surgery. They almost lost him on the table. I mean, he almost died during the surgery. He also caught a staph infection. So they had to take him back in the hospital afterwards to cure the staph infection. And then they want to say, look, we're not sure we've got it all being the cancerous growths. So they said, we want to give you 8 weeks of radiation. So they did that. They burnt his bladder. And and several years later, that's still a problem. And then the last thing that they did was they said, well, we're going to put you on Lupron, which is a testosterone-killing drug. It's called androgen deprivation drug. And what that does, it totally destroys anything you might have in the way of libido because it destroys your body's ability to make testosterone in the testes. And so it also, you put on weight. And you put on weight around the middle, so you get a fat belly basically, and all of these things happened to this guy, and then his wife, who happened to be a very very influential business lady, suddenly said, "I've enough of this," and she got in, she took charge of her husband's treatment, and he's very healthy today, but he's without a prostate and he's without a lot of the issues of sexuality that he wished he had. But it was his wife getting involved and taking charge that basically, I think, kept him alive. And he's now alive today, several years later. I mean, other than as I said, that the issues with regards to the surgery, he's living a healthy life, and I'm sure he'll live a long time now, you know. But wow. He's changed his life. He's changed his diet. He's changed a lot of things.
Well, he's not the only one that changed his life. You changed your life. You overcame cancer, prostate cancer. I'm speaking to Peter Starr, who overcame cancer and about 12 years ago and has now put together a great DVD. You've got to see this DVD. 56 experts around the world, doctors and PhDs and other great people. He'll explain that towards the end of the show. And I really advise you to look up his webpage, which will give you that information a little later. Peter has won 14 major international awards for radio, TV, work, films, a silver award, a gold award given in New York. Those are very, very big. He's done over 40 TV specials on big stations, CNN, ESPN, BBC, ABC, and History Channel, and more, many more. There's about at least 10 different stations that he's had his awards done on. I just read a few. He is a really remarkable man that is involved in so many things and for so many years. You can hear his voice. He's a healthy man. And he's been around a while. But and I look up to him because towards the end I want to mention to you that I'm going to be having a surgery in about a month on my prostate. But let's get to the next thing. We have a lot of people that know very little about health or even prostate. So could you give us a beginner's description, a 101 on what is prostate and how do they get it and what they can do about it, please?
Well, it's funny you should use that terminology because my book on prostate cancer, it'll be my third book, is called Prostate Cancer, Why We Get It and What to Do About It.
Right.
It's probably not going to be ready for publication for another couple of months, but we're well on our way to it, so it's interesting you use that terminology. First of all, the prostate is a male gland, and it sits beneath the bladder and between the bladder and the penis on the inside of the body. It's quite deep, and it rests, the backside of the prostate rests up against the rectum. And what's interesting is 85% of all prostate cancers happen in the part of the prostate that is right up against the rectum. One of the key issues of prostate cancer and prostate disease generally is toxic substances which can actually leach through the rectum into the prostate over a period of time. Obviously, this isn't something that happens overnight. So the location of the prostate and the rectum and the fact that the disease happens in that part where the rectum and the prostate connect or touch, that's what we think is quite significant. So let me say that from an early life, if I'd have known this years ago, I probably would have started doing colon cleansing at an early life to keep that area as clean as possible. And that's an interesting thing to bear in mind because of that one thing. But the prostate does basically two things. It's a muscle and it's a gland. And the fact that it's a muscle and a gland should let on as to a little bit of what it does. Glandularly, it creates a big portion of what we call seminal fluid. The sperm come from the testes and enter with this fluid in the prostate and is ejaculated through the penis, of course, during ejaculation. And that's the muscle part as well, because the actual ejaculation process is a muscular process created by the prostate. So not only does it mix the fluids and the sperm, but it also gives it that force to ejaculate. That's what the prostate does. And other than that, it's wrapped around the urethra, which is the tube that comes from the bladder through the penis, and it is a control device as well for urine. And so when you get cancer also of the prostate, it can actually go up into the bladder if it's not controlled early on, because that's one of the ways it can expand. It can also expand to restrict the urine flow through the urethra, because the prostate will grow if there's cancer inside. That's basically what prostate cancer is and what the prostate does. It is a masculine function, and by that I mean psychologically the prostate has a lot to do with our masculinity. And one of the things that they don't tell you when they remove your prostate is some of the issues psychologically of losing that part of your manhood. It is in many respects comparable to when a woman has her ovaries taken out or the female parts taken out, because they go through a similar kind of emotional process, and it's a hormonal process. So it's important to bear in mind that when you take it out, you're not just taking out a piece of flesh. You're taking out also a part of manhood, and men suffer from that afterwards. Not all the same, and not all to the same degree. It's very much a part of it. And the more men you talk to that's had the prostate removed, the more that becomes obvious to you.
That's great. As I said earlier, and I think this is important, women can really be helpful. And you liked that question. And I know that women are really caretakers. They're women that love their men and want to help always. They're the best volunteers whenever I've done a lot of activism work and other things. But women have fathers, they have husbands, they have boyfriends, they have other family, uncles. And what kind of, briefly, because I got about three or four major questions and our time is running, what can women, what's the role of women and what do you know about it and what can they do to help support their
men? To be quite honest, I know it sounds like a plug for my documentary, and it really is, but go to the website, survivingprostatecancer.org, look at the trailer, look at the content that's on the website, buy the three DVD disc, and the first disc, is an hour and 45 minutes long. Watch that with your husband. You will get your own education, your husband will get an education, and the reason we don't have so much involvement in our own medical processes is we don't have the education, and we feel that the doctor knows everything, and I've got to tell you, the doctor doesn't necessarily know everything. And
right,
that's
right.
Something you've got to learn. It's a fact. And you need to take more interest in your own medical outcome, and you can, and you should. Now, people say, well, you need to get exercise, you need to do your diet. All of that is true. But if you don't take an interest in it and question your doctor, the doctor is from, the word doctor is from a Latin word that means teacher. And the problem with one of today's problems with the medical system is the doctor doesn't teach. He doesn't have time in the 7 or 8 minutes he gets to deal with you to teach you anything about your own physiology or the issues that you might be having. And that's why you need to be self-educated. And the DVD is the best thing that I've seen on this subject.
Yes,
and any woman that's married to a man that's age 45 and up should buy this, watch it, learn from it, discuss it with her husband, so that heavens forbid that they get prostate cancer, they will be forearmed. And then the wife can be a real advocate to her man in dealing with the medical system. By the way, just a couple of interesting statistics. You know, one in every six men in the USA will be diagnosed with prostate cancer this year. Mm-hmm. The interesting thing about that, we hear more about breast cancer. In fact, there was so much publicity, you know, the Pink Ribbon Brigade and all that sort of stuff about breast cancer. Breast cancer has a rate 30% lower than prostate cancer. One in eight women will get breast cancer. One in six men will get prostate cancer. Sorry, one in eight women will get breast cancer. One in six men will get prostate cancer.
Wow, that's
not too many people know that statistic, you know?
You're right. Okay, I have three or four more questions, and we've only got about 8 or 9 minutes left, so let's move here. And at the end, give your contact information and about how they can reach you. On this station, though, Progressive Radio Network, we're not allowed to talk too much about selling books or DVDs, but I will boost you. I'll say something to that effect, that I have it, and people should look into your website so they can see more information about that. That's how I do it.
Yeah, just send them to the web. There's a lot of information on the website. One of the things that's on the website is a list of all of the doctors that I interviewed in putting this together. Now, Suzanne Summers went around and interviewed a lot of doctors for her books, and she put hers out as books. I was a documentary filmmaker for 35 years, and although I've written a couple of books, my first talent, if you like, is in documentary filmmaking. So I did a documentary, and I went to 8 countries on 3 continents, interviewed 56 doctors of all disciplines in putting this package together. So it's incredibly well researched, and as I said, within an hour and 45 minutes, you'll get the education of your life about natural healing for prostate disease.
Right. Okay, let's talk about other cancers, because, and the way I look at it, because I work with Gary Null, I'm a nutritionist out here in Southern California, and I have a lot of people come to our meetings. We have Gary Null empowerment meetings, and the word gets out that I also can give people advice and help, and I always use Gary Null's message as well as other people, like possibly yours. As far as people ask about prostate, I'll be using some of your information, because it is really good. But the point is, wanted to see if we could talk about other cancers briefly, because we've only got a few minutes left. I think prostate cancer is the number 2 cancer for men in the world. Describe the top ones and what people can do to heal themselves in the way of diet and other things, lifestyle, please.
Well, the most prevalent cancer that kills men is lung cancer. And so the first thing people need to do is to stop smoking. That just has to be the first thing. If somebody is smoking, stop smoking. Stop hanging around places where you breathe in toxins, because it's the toxins in your body that start the inflammation that later becomes cancer. Those are the biggest things. I mean, melanoma is a big cancer also, but people think that melanoma is caused by being out in the sun too much. That's proving not to be true. There's other things that we think cause melanoma, not sunshine. And the problem is, when you stay out of the sunshine, the biggest problem you have is a lack of vitamin D3. Now, vitamin D3 is not a traditional vitamin in the same sense of the word as vitamin C or vitamin E. D3 is made by the body when ultraviolet B rays hit the skin. And it's not truly a vitamin. It's really a precursor to a steroid hormone. And it has many, many, many qualities that the body needs, including what we call helping cells differentiate. And the relationship of cancer is, the worse differentiated the cells, the worse the cancer, basically. The more the cells are differentiated, the worse the cancer. And vitamin D helps solve that particular issue. So even though we think that melanoma is caused by the sun, you've got to have the sunshine. What you don't need is, of course, sunburn. So get out into the sun. Don't get sunburned. But your body will manufacture, if you take your shirt off and you're outside in the sun between 10 and 2, your body can manufacture anywhere from 10,000 to 15,000 international units of D3. Now, when you compare that to what the government tells you is an adequate supply, they're saying it's 400 a day. Well, if your body's making 10 to 15,000 units in 20 to 30 minutes, doesn't that tell you your body needs that?
Yes.
It needs a lot more than 400 units. And vitamin D, we recommend that When we do our tests, we do blood tests for, we do 62 points of analysis of the blood, and one of them, of course, is D3. If your D3 is below 50, we consider that deficient. If you've already got cancer and your D3 is below 50, it's really deficient, and we try to boost that up into the into 80. The scale, by the way, is like 20 to 100. And that's just another example of the things that we you have to look at in not only getting healthy, but preparing your body to cure itself. Your body will do remarkable things if you give it the right tools.
That's right. Okay. Also, I talked to you last week about the fact that I had a choice of several options for surgery. I've done a lot of research myself, not as much as you, of course, but as far as what I could do. And I asked you the key question, and you gave me the great answer. My thoughts were, I've been told there's a Turk, there's a new one called Great Vaporizer Turk, and there's Green Light Laser. Those are the three that came out the most. And your friend and my friend, Burton Goldberg, told me he had Green Light Laser about 4 or 5 years ago and cured himself. He said after that, he's had no problems at night having to go to the bathroom. And also, it helps, if anything else, your improved sexual life, which is very important to a lot of people, including me. So I'd like to get your thoughts on Green Light Laser and the other ones real quickly, because we've got to finish up pretty soon.
Well, Green Light Laser, that's what you and I discussed, and that's what I would recommend you take a look at. And but in terms of improving your sexual life, I always found that having a good woman is a big part of that. I mean, it's... if you don't have a willing partner that enjoys it as much as you do, and that to me is a huge part of having a successful sex life. So I'm not sure that the green laser would improve your sex life if you don't already have a willing partner to participate with you.
Right. But it can't hurt it. Like some things, some surgeries can make it go backwards. What I hear, I don't know.
Well, what you got to be careful of course, is what they call reverse ejaculation, where you ejaculate into the bladder. It doesn't come out of the penis, it just goes back into the bladder. That's an issue, and it can definitely happen. And that's why I think the green laser is the better of the two options that you've looked at.
Right, good. Okay. All right, give your contact information, please, and then we might have a minute or two of last-minute thoughts.
Just want to send people to our website. It's www.survivingprostatecancer.org. Now, we are a 501c3. We exist on donations or from the money we get from the sale of the DVDs. That's what keeps the process going. And so I just send people to there. Take a look at the list of doctors we have. They're quite a remarkable list. Look at the trailers, the three-minute trailer. There's a 12-minute interview with me talking about the basic philosophy we have. And evaluate it for yourself. Don't take my word for these things, like you shouldn't take your doctor's word for things either. Do your own research. Get to the point where you feel comfortable with what you know, but make sure you're getting the information from a credible source. And I think the doctors that we've got are incredibly credible. And understand also that prostate cancer is not just the tumor. If you remove the tumor, then you should ask yourself, why does the cancer come back? Well, the cancer comes back because you have not removed the cause of the cancer. You've only removed the tumor. That's another good reason for not removing the prostate.
Before you leave, Peter, real quickly, let me just say this about cancer and how the diet, we all need to have a natural diet, a plant-based diet, lots of vegetables, fruits, juices, and everything organic is possible. If not, just I do a lot of juices every day and eat beans. I eat have good soups, but a good diet is very important. Stay away from meat. Stay away from, this is what we talk about. I don't know if you agree with this, Peter, but I want your thoughts. But we stay away from meat, smoking, drinking alcohol, junk food, white processed food, candies and cookies and things of that sort. And we just need a good lifestyle. Your thoughts were quickly on that.
The only thing, I don't go for or against a vegetarian or vegan diets. I've seen arguments both sides, particularly when the patient has a deficiency of amino acids. When you have a deficiency of amino acids, you're not building the kind of proteins your body needs to help you in a cure. So just becoming a vegan isn't necessarily the answer. One needs to take a look at the entire body chemistry before you decide what sort of a diet you need. And there's a lot of arguments both sides.
Right.
But what I will say is, you talk about juicing a lot. Here's the issue. when you juice a lot, you're taking a lot of the sugar from the fruit, and you're drinking more concentrated sugar. That should be a real issue for people that might be pre-diabetic. So mm-hmm. I'm very, very careful about telling people to juice fruits because right. of the amount of sugar you get in the fruit. Same with carrots, by the way. Carrots have a lot of juice in them, yes, a lot of sugar in them. So be really careful about the amount of sugar you're taking, particularly if you think you might be pre-diabetic.
Peter, you mentioned protein. You know, the old thinking was that you have to have protein, which means they want you to have some meat. But the newest scientific reports are saying that green leafy vegetables and vegetables, period, have tremendous, the best calcium and all the best things that you need to. So that this is what we do. But anyway, everyone has different thoughts on that, as you said. But more and more the world is changing. And also being a vegan and also is helping climate change because we can use less water, which is a major, major thing. But listen, Peter, unless you have another thought, I want to thank you for being on this show. And you're just wonderful. Keep up the great work. And we'll be in touch with you.
It's my pleasure, Bobby. Thanks for inviting me on your show. And I really do appreciate the time you've given me to explain what we do and what we feel. And remember, survivingprostatecancer.org. And thank you.
Excellent. Okay, thank you. Take care. Wow, right, that
bye-bye.
Was really nice. All right, that was really great. Hang in there. We're going to do TMI. TMI with Stefan Rudolph. TMI means the too much information. We're talking about computers. We're talking about cell phones. We're talking about everything. Stefan will get into that in a minute. Let me just say this, that I'm Bobby Elias. This is Let's Create a Better World, Body, Mind, Spirit, Healthy Aging. We've got a lot of things this month about Earth Day, about the climate change, and about global warming. We're going to talk about a lot of things in that vein. So stick with us. Next week, we're going to get into that. We're working on trying to get a native. We had one last year that spoke about Mother Earth and how the natives feel about Earth Day because they live Earth Day every day. And we're going to talk about all that in the next few weeks as our show. We're going to talk about the elections, about Bernie Sanders, about Hillary Clinton. We're going to talk about Jill Stein and what's going on with the elections. As we all know, though, one thing I want to mention right now, Hillary Clinton has been a warmonger for many, many years. She had a lot to do with Haiti, with many countries in Central America, Honduras, and a lot of people with dictators they work with, and a lot of people have died. So in my opinion, Hillary Clinton, you could almost say, has blood on her hands from all being a warmonger, being with the war machine and the usual status quo that Obama and the money people, the corporations have put together and what they're doing. It's not good at all. And as far as Bernie Sanders, he's the best choice of what's there. I really like Jill Stein a lot, but she's not on the ticket as much as the others are because they just aced her out. The powers that be say only Republicans and Democrats, and they always handpick who they want and who they don't want. Ralph Nader never got through for the years that he ran for president, but Jill Stein is the best candidate. Bernie Sanders has got a lot of good things to say. He's like the young people that are coming in, the college kids. He's got all their attention, and Occupy New York, Occupy LA, Occupy all these big cities. These young kids are back, and they're on the bandwagon for Bernie Sanders. One, don't forget, though, he has voted for war. He, like Hillary Clinton, is a supporter of Saudi Arabia, which is a bad country, very bad country. They're doing beheadings, torture. They're getting lots of weapons from the United States, and they're one of the worst countries in the world. And one of the best countries in Europe is Libya. And yet the United States government, including Obama and the Clintons, are against that country for bad reasons. So we'll talk about a lot of that next time around, next week and the week after. I have some real good guests on the environment and also about the elections. Now let's get to our next thing, which is TMI, too much information with Stefan Rudolph. Too much information. Stefan, go right ahead and explain to our listeners what is TMI. You're there, I hope, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, Bobby, I'm here. Great to be on your show again. It was awesome hearing from Peter Starr there. I was listening to him about all the information about prostate cancer and staying healthy. Great guest and a lot of good information for everybody. And, yeah, just talking here about our topic of TMI, especially with kids these days. We hear a lot about ADD, ADHD, all kinds of problems that we have going on in society. basically TMI, for those that don't know, is too much information. We all get a lot of that nowadays with technology. And the big part is, you know, with the baby boomers, with me being 45, right in that middle age of, you know, the kids these days have a lot of everything going on. I'd say 18 hours a day, 7 days a week. There's always a cell phone in their hand. They're always on the internet. There's always texting, chatting. The three areas, really, you're texting, you're emailing, or you're verbally speaking to somebody. And when you try to calm down at night and try to relax, it's really hard to fall asleep. And a lot of these kids and younger generations are having these issues. The baby boomers, some like my dad, is not very technically savvy and is actually in a benefit, is what I see, a benefit of not being able to have a cell phone in his hand and not get absorbed by all this information. It's just too much for the mind to handle, is being on the internet and having emails and text messages and constant. And when you try to relax at 8 p.m., 9 p.m. at night, it's very hard to subdue the mind back into a relaxation mode because you're always thinking, who's contacting me? What bill do I have to pay with this? There's really too much out there. And we want to have our listeners just be aware that we have to really be cautious of how much we are on the internet or texting or all of the above to live a healthier life.
Right. And to add to that, Stefan, not only kids having too much information and having cell phones and TV and all these devices in their hands and next to their ear all day long, but they're also getting enormous amount of radiation. As you know, Stefan, we've had about five guests in the last few years from New York, from Florida, from the West Coast, who are experts, I mean really activists, about the bringing out the word that radiation is everywhere and wireless, especially wireless, but all kinds of electrical appliances. Smart meters are out there. Stem cell towers are out there. It's really getting bad. I mean, not stem cell towers, cell towers. So it is really bad, and so that's another effect of that's why they can't sleep also. Besides all that, besides you're going to get brain cancer, Ted Kennedy, Senator Ted Kennedy, died having a phone in his hands from brain cancer. The great attorney for Johnny, for O.J. Simpson, Johnny Cochran, he died at age 66. That's too young, but because he had cancer, you know. So go on from there and tell us more about TMI, Stefan.
You know, related to that area you're talking about, it's very interesting that recently LeBron James, one of the top NBA players, back in 2009 actually had to have surgery on a jaw tumor, a tumor that was in his jaw. And a lot of this topics and related to this surgery is because it was a possible cancer, and they are relating it to the cell phone use. Now, to listeners, you know, you have your cell phone on your side of your cheek all day, and you're talking, and you're constantly on the phone, and there was suspected areas of that where people get brain cancer just being on the phone too much, and especially right in his jaw, he had to have a tumor removed. I mean, a jaw tumor in his mid-20s, that's crazy. And I think a lot more and more of these situations are coming up out there. So medically and as a society, we have to be aware it's not good to have these Bluetooths in your head all day, on your ear. It's too much information for your, not only for your mind to handle mentally and emotionally, but really physically. It can be very detrimental to your health. And back on the topic, though, like you said, Bobby, TMI, just the information that we have coming in, when kids get overwhelmed and overloaded, they don't know how to relax. So a lot of this is to not only to do, like we talk about a lot, with their diet and their health, but what's going on with them socially and having constant contact with people face-to-face, you know, people calling them all the time, texting. We have to be aware and let our kids know, especially, there has to be downtime. There has to be, whether it's meditation, prayer, whatever your family does out there, to really press upon the kids that put your phones away when you come to eat. You know, put your phones away when you relax at night after 7 p.m. or 8 p.m. Put, you know, turn your phone off, turn your computer off, talk with family, read a book. Everything that us old schoolers do, right, Bobby? we were basically got to go back to the old way of living to have a healthy way of new living.
Right. Let me say something along those lines. Also at night, people should turn off all plugs in the bedroom. And they shouldn't even have a TV or a computer in the bedroom, period. They shouldn't have a lamp next to their head, or especially cell phones. But going back to cell phones, the radiation cell phones, I see children as little as 2, 3, 4 years old with a cell phone or a tablet in their hands playing games, and the mother's sitting there with them and watching them. And I, what I really am concerned about, Stefan, is that the companies, the big telephone companies, know, they know that there's radiation. They know that there's a danger, but they do nothing about it because they're making so much money. There we go again. The greedy corporations don't care about us. They care about the pocketbook and the finances that they're making. So my thing is that we need – there is a movement, by the way. So of the five various speakers we've had the last few years from Florida, New York, and the West Coast about the issue, one of them is going around the country on lawsuits against helping different people in different areas sue. And we're starting to win some of the lawsuits. Slowly but surely, this is one of the slower-moving activist cases because it's the powerful telephone industry is so big, and they're making so much money that if they got the best lawyers and they're finding ways to shut us down. But just like the Monsanto thing and the GMOs, the cell phone radiation people are going to win. It's going to take a number of years, but they'll win. The GMO issue is already worldwide, and this country, we're starting to win the issue. So there's so much out there, and that's what this show is all about, listeners, so stay with us. Continue with your thoughts, Stefan.
Yeah, this is one way to change society is to educate society. It goes back to the kids again, but you know, younger generation, 15 to 25, educating them more on not taking it for granted that cell phones are okay or the way we eat is okay, fast food is okay, like we talked about. But we have to be really aware and educate and be educated on the facts that what we are doing right now is not working. It's not that having a cell phone is bad, but it's constantly being on that with that in your head, especially, like I said, the Bluetooth and other areas, and not being able to have downtime. Now, a lot of our listeners out there, I'm sure, do meditation, prayer, relaxation, anything in those areas are a key part, as I mentioned, but not only once a day, but what I do is it usually 3 to 4 times a day, just 2 to 3 minutes of relaxing. You don't need to be sitting down anywhere, but just whether you're at a bus stop or at a stoplight even, and taking some deep breaths and relaxing and making sure you have your thoughts in line and not being overwhelmed by this TMI issue that we have. Too much information never lets your brain sit in relaxation. And especially, you know how we sleep at night and we get into what's called a REM 4 sleep, the deep sleep. We need to be able to relax during the day and unwind. It's not just at night, but we need to take this time to unwind and keep this information under control, because these kids do not have control these days, especially it goes back to the health with energy drinks and everything else. And parents say, well, let's just put them on this medication to control the ADD. And then that's another negative effect, right, Bobby? And it goes goes around and around.
Well, yeah, you know, Stefan, junk food, drugs, even the minor so-called minor drugs. And then all these texting and all the TMI that we're talking about can cause also mind chatter, where your mind doesn't stop running, especially at night. Especially these kids are doing all this work right before they go to sleep, and they got these equipment right in their bedroom, and the plugs are on, and a cell phone can be. I've heard of cell phones underneath a pillow. They're so addicted to this thing, or right on the lamp table, right there, and right next to their head. This is.
Yeah,
really, this is dangerous.
Yeah, that's actually what I was doing for a long time, was listening to books on what they have is online now, and you can listen through your cell phone. So I had the cell phone next to my head for probably off and on over a year and not even aware of it. You see, that's the whole thing. It's not that somebody is, we call them, you know, ignorant, or it's not being aware of this fact. It's not, we have to be more informed and let other people know this is not healthy to have a cell phone on, sleeping next to it or under your pillow, like you said, so in case it rings. You had a great point, Bobby, is shutting everything off. And I have a good friend, Nathan Crane, who brought this up about 2 years ago to me. He says they do that exact thing in their room. They unplug everything at night. They have everything turned off when they go in their room. It's like a sanctuary. And we have to have our kids' rooms like that. It has to be a place to sleep and a place maybe to read and relax. Because if we associate the bed with opening up your laptop, opening up your cell phone, and constantly working and doing things, that's what our mind associates it with, not with sleep, not with relaxation, but I got to get this done. I can't sleep. And then we wake up because we never entered that deep stage of REM 4. Maybe we got to 2 or 3, but your mind is like, you're still tired throughout the day. And we ask ourselves, why am I so tired? I got 8 hours of sleep. It really wasn't 8 because you're waking up and you're thinking and you're rolling around and you're never totally relaxed because all this chatter, like you said, Bobby, is going on in your mind, constant, too much information, right?
Right, and you know, Stepan, and by the way, I'm Bobby Elias, this is Stepan Rudolph, he's a co-host, I'm the executive producer and the host of Let's Create a Better World, and we're on every Saturday, as you know, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, and we've got some great shows coming up, which we'll talk about in a few minutes as we wind up the show. But I'm excited, Stepan. Let me tell you more thoughts about what you said. I took a couple notes here to tell you that people, when they go to sleep, I said this earlier, should turn off all the plugs. People should do meditation. They should deep breathing. If you don't know what that is, at least take a deep breath, hold it for 5 or 10 seconds, let it out for a few seconds, and do it again. That air going into your brain gives the oxygen. It calms your mind down, helps you sleep better. I'm doing that, and I'm sleeping better. Slow the last hour or two, slow music, classical music, something soft and gentle, romantic music, is a good way to relax and slow down the day. And forget about TV, forget about the cell phones. Get away from them for the last 2 hours before you sleep. Don't eat anything right before you go to sleep. And then you want to sleep in peace. Make sure that your bedroom is a sanctuary. It's a place to sleep, not for work, not to put things on your bed, not to use it in an office, not to keep all this equipment all around. It's a bedroom to sleep. So those are my thoughts. Your thoughts on that?
You know, also, Bobby, a great point that we have going on with new laws that have been passed about cell phone usage, and we've talked about this, I know, but in your car, of course, when we have the ability to use a GPS, which we all need, you know, we need maps now and then, and we're putting the phone on, but then we get calls, we get text messages, and we get in accidents, and more people are having these issues. Now, it has been incorporated to have the audio part connected to the car now. It is very helpful to have your map telling you where to go, but when we are in constant use of this phone throughout our driving period, it's very dangerous. And I know we brought it up a lot, but people get in accidents and they die because of cell phone usage, because of texting. So this TMI, the biggest point about this to remember for all generations is do not be using this, of course, when you're driving. But it not only distracts you and can kill you, but the idea of not being able to pay attention, get lost, get frustrated, this causes anxiety. And whether we believe this or not, if you're texting somebody, you're calling somebody, and you're doing multiple things on the road, you're going to have more anxiety and more stress in your life. I got to get there. I got to call this person. I got to do this. Just focus on the drive. Get there. Take the time. Because if you're not paying attention to time, you're going to lose it on the road, and you're going to lose your life. You're not going to have any time, and that'll be it. So we just need to focus on one step at a time is really downing the TMI point, you know, not getting too much information in our head and right, being in control of that matter.
You know, Stepan, we have a lot of people in New York City, and a lot of them take the trains. I've lived in New York myself for a short while. I was an international dancer, but New York's a great, great city. We all know that. But people are moving further out, of course. But on the trains, you'll notice this, not just in New York, but in major cities that have trains, you just look around. Get in that train and look around, and you'll see most of the people that are under 30 or under 40 have a phone in their hands, a cell phone, or a tablet, or an iPad, and they're working at it. And I'm telling you, I see 60, 70% of people in that younger age group that have something, and they're just constantly on it the whole trip. They get their eyes and their focus and their mind are strictly on them, and they do this all day long. Your further thoughts on that? We've talked about it a little bit, but what do you think of that, Stepan?
You know, what's a great example of that is with my friends and contacts here in the Southern California area is that we have a bet sometimes when we go out to dinner or to just grab a snack somewhere, say we have a drink, and we're sitting down at a table, so there's 5 of us, and we all have our cell phones. You put your cell phone in the middle of the table. Everyone does this, and they have 5 cell phones stacked together. The first person to pick up their cell phone loses and pays the tab. So try that. I thought it was a great joke. I heard it. And you don't need to be serious about it, but it's kind of funny to see how how enthralled we are with this cell phone, and somebody texts you, and then and everybody's looking at the message, and we're trying to prevent us from grabbing the phone, but finally somebody's wife will call, or something will happen, they have to answer the phone, and we don't really stick to a big tab or a big bill or anything, but it's kind of fun to do. If people are, don't realize how addicted they are, try that one time with your friends or family. When you go out with 3, 4, or 5 people, everybody put your cell phone in the middle of the table, and whoever touches it first loses. So that idea, but also turning it off and telling your other friends to turn it completely off and not have to worry about this for just 10 minutes and find out how hard this is to the listeners out there that know. And, Bobby, you have a great point. Is they're on their phones on the subway or wherever, in the buses, trains, and no one's really interacting, and we find fear now in interaction. Oh, I don't want to talk to him. He's a stranger. You know, it's just good conversation on a bus or a train to talk to people. And we feel we don't need that because our whole world is in the palm of our hands. And with emails, texting, it's just really, it's efficient and it's good. And I do it a lot, but we have to be able to compromise and even it out to have our relaxation time, our downtime, our alone time versus constantly having this on our whole life.
And you know, Stepan, the people that are the telephone companies, the Google people, all these companies. You know, you've been in social media a lot. You've been a webmaster, and you're changing from that to other things. We'll talk about that at the end here. But I've noticed that these companies are putting more and more games. They're putting more interesting stuff on there to attract people to get on their iPad, on their smartphone, on their iPhone. And their tablets to play games and to see something interesting, stories, TV, more music, more everything. It's on there. This is why people are addicted to these things, because it's their whole world, and that's their whole world, period. One more thought about that. People are like, people want to meet, like single people want to meet each other, the opposite sex. And, or if they're gay, the opposite, whatever. But here's the thing about all that. They're so much addicted to the cell phones that they're just not doing anything more than just on that phone, period. And a lot of women and men that don't ever meet, they're just on back and forth on the internet and talking. And this, the whole thing, I have a lady expert, PhD, that told me that it's gone crazy because people are not talking in the flesh. It's all texting. It's all, everything's online. And the whole world is changing, at least in this country and other places. Your thoughts on that, Stepan, as we wind down?
Yeah, that's a great topic, Bobby, because I've actually lived that in my dating life and being single now for 7, 8 years and just doing the regular online dating. But now it's a cell phone. They're apps. They're called applications that people download onto their phone. And they are effective in a way of meeting people, but I totally agree. You know, 95% of the time, it's all texting. Once in a while, I will meet a good lady that will say, hey, call me. And we'll talk. We'll actually talk for half hour. You know, and if it works, great. If not, it doesn't matter. But the point being is that you have it right on the money. You hit the nail right on the head, Bobby, is that I have text, and then we say, let's meet up for a date. We go out there and we look at each other in awe and go, who are you? And it's a totally different person because your personality is different. What you are texting is, you think about this, we have to talk with audio, video, and sometimes kinesthetic and touching someone and shaking their hand, and you're actually interacting very quickly. You have to talk, have a rebuttal, come back. Conversation, it's called. A lot of kids don't even know what that word is. It's not in their TMI list. And when they text all day, and I've texted one time for 2 weeks talking to this girl, and we met, and it was just totally different. Her voice, everything, influx, it was just, we didn't connect. And I'm like, all those hours of texting, why don't we just call each other and see if we have a good fit? So that's a great point, is the dating life has completely changed. To
that, we've got about 3 or 4 minutes. So if you take a minute.
We just look at it differently.
Final thoughts or things you wanted to get over, and then I want to thank everybody. But go ahead and you go first for about a minute, please.
Yeah, great topics today, Bobby. Great show as well. It's Stepan Rudolph here, and I have a book that I just came out with, Living with Heart, that was co-authored with Les Brown, and it's been helping other people. We have 12 different co-authors in the book, and Les Brown is a big name, being one of them. It's my first book. I have a chapter in there, and it's called Thank Your Way to Gratitude. It's about life, and our show in general here is just being thankful and being gratuitous in life for everything. My website is clickforgrowth.com. That's click, the number 4, just helping other people grow in their life, Stefan Rudolph. If you have any questions, you can contact me directly at 760-215-2337.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. And let me, I've only got a minute or so, 2 minutes maybe, to thank everybody. But first, the next few weeks, we're going to be on the environment. It's Earth Day coming up and Earth Week, Earth Month. We're going to talk about the world, Mother Earth, about the environment, global warming, how the waters in the oceans are heating up so much that it's causing major problems. We'll get into that next week as we talk on all these issues. For those of you, you want to tell your friends, get a phone number. Here's a phone number to call to hear the show on your phone. Area 712-775-6850. All right, I want to thank everybody for being on the show. We've got some great shows the next few weeks, as I said, so hang in there with us. Talk about the elections also coming up. I want to thank Gary Null for having this station, Progressive Radio Network, the best station in the world, winning more and more awards, getting more and more people on social media and every kind of way. More people are on the cell phone, on regular phones, hearing the show on their phone with the number I just gave. All right, I want to thank Jason, the producer and director of Progressive Radio Network, our great engineer doing good work, Jesse, our producers, main producer has been Stuart Hassel. We just spoke to Stefan Rudolph, is a co-producer, a talk show host, co-host here, and he does a lot of good work too, as well as Lydia, another associate producer, and we have a couple new interns, which we'll be introducing as the weeks come in. We need more help because we have so much to do and to get the station going, and I do have a new FM station that's got me going to run the whole show. It's in Southern California. It's an FM station, so I'm excited. And I want to thank also our guest today. I want to thank Stefan, who I just thanked, and I want to thank Peter Starr on the prostate issue, and I want to thank you, the listeners, for being here. Be with us again next Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Thank you all for being here. We're honored and privileged to help. Thank you.